You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
In January this year, the Tea Research Association of India hosted a two-day event to commemorate 200 years of Assam tea. It was called the Bicentenary Assam Tea International Conference 2024. The event was spearheaded by Joydeep Phukan, Principal Officer and Secretary TRA. So we caught up with Joydeep to hear about what went into the planning of the event and what he hopes guests have taken away from it. It was really nice to be there and at Batik and to meet everyone, attend some of the sessions. The last time we spoke for TBiz was on the FAO IGG session that was being hosted by India. And of course, a bicentennial celebration was added to it. So can you tell us a little bit about what went into planning these events?
When we had the Hangzhou session of the FAO IGG, that was the 23rd session, which was held in May 2018. So India proposed to host the next session, that is the 24th session of the FAO IGG in India. We had hosted in 2010 also in Delhi. And during that time, it was 3 days of the FAO IGG on tea, and which was preceded by the 100 years of centenary of Tokhlai, actually. So when it was decided that like it's going to be held in India in 2020, the whole FAO IGG session got postponed by nearly 3 years, we decided to host the Bicentenary Conference of Assam Tea. So back to back on the same format, like 2 days of the Bicentennial Assam Tea Conference, followed by the 25th session of the FAO IGG. In fact, both, if you see, those are landmarks, like 200 years plus 25th session of the FAO IGG. Yeah. Not many big tea meetings have been held in Assam. And for holding this meeting, I think the full credit goes to our Honorable Commerce Minister, Piyush Goyalji. When the proposal was put up by the Commerce Ministry, so Mr. Goyal straight away said that, like, see, if it's tea, it has to be held in Guwahati, in Assam. I felt good because I belong to Guwahati, although there are some challenges in terms of the local logistics and the infrastructure. But I think people enjoyed, and we had a lot of programs outdoors, actually. Weather was very good.
I think the choice of sessions at Batik and also later the IGG are all things that reflect the current concerns of the tea industry, whether it's in marketing of tea or adopting technology or regenerative agriculture. Is there something here that you'd like to share about what went into putting together the program and some of the takeaways that you're particularly excited by?
The whole idea of the Bicentennial Assam Tea Conference was to take a stock of what we have done in the last 200 years. It's kind of a SWOT analysis kind of a thing, because since Assam produces more than 50%, so if we do a analysis of Assam, then we can extrapolate into Bengal and South India. We are producing more teas than we are consuming, actually. But the one side is that you can cut production, and then it's like there is a stopgap arrangement, actually. See, until, but the main long-term goal is to create more demand for tea, and wherein everyone becomes more, like everyone participates. Like if the industry does well, the small growers does well, the organized sector does well, and the entire value chain in the tea industry. So initially, in fact, we thought of getting the Starbucks chief CEO also as one of the speakers, as one of the another keynote speaker. But since he's heading Starbucks, and then so I think there was a more of a communication or the PR issue. The general perception among people is that coffee is seen to be more trendy, more happening among the younger generation. So the idea was that, like, see, maybe we get a tea person who's done well. We get a coffee person who's heading one of the largest coffee chains in the world, and in India also they're expanding. And then we have a different perspective, especially in China, Japan, Taiwan. They have done really well in repositioning tea. In fact, you see, if you see in China from 95 to about 2010, it was a big boom for the ready-to-drink teas. The RTDs replaced or is at par with water in China. Then after that, they have innovated with different formats like bubble tea. Then so those kind of things. Then the new format kind of stores, like, so they are using quite a lot of technology in terms of bringing in the youngsters into tea. So the other thing was that, like, see how we can learn from these countries like China, Japan, Taiwan, and other Southeast Asian countries. So that is why we, of course, language would have been a problem, because, and thanks to LinkedIn, I connected with James Grayland. James has been there for the last 30 years in China, and he knows how the whole industry has evolved. So that's why he could make it, and he was articulate in presenting to our audience what is happening, actually. So basically, to learn about what is happening in more mature markets and what we can learn from those things in repositioning tea. We had a special session, if you on tea promotion and tea exports, wherein Mr. Harish Bijur, who's a branding expert. And in fact, one thing which was very surprising to hear from him is that, like, what he was telling about the Gen Alpha, the Alpha generation, from 2010 to 2025. If you recall, he said that only 4% of the Gen Alpha is into tea. So that's actually very, very small percentage, actually. And these are the generation which are going to basically drive consumption. A lot of serious thoughts which he has given in to the policymakers in how to address the problem, actually. Because we are producing every year, we are having maybe 3%, 4% extra production. Like, it is increasing. But on the demand side, if you're not taking care of the situation, then I think we are in for a real problem, actually.
The session on marketing in particular brought such different perspectives, and I think it shook us all out of the way we've been thinking about marketing tea and what we may need to revisit in terms of some of our own ideas on how to promote tea, but also where the urgent focus needs to be.
There's a lot of negativity, or is negativity, in the industry regarding prices, overproduction, and last year, 2023, was a very bad year, actually, for the Indian tea industry, and even globally also. So in this context, to have this events, both the events, it was really a challenging thing, because we were having our conference on 29th, 30th, and followed by the FAO. Of course, FAO is, these are more government-nominated delegates, but our target for the conference was about around, say, 300 people. So by 31st December, when we had the early bird cutoff registration date, we had only about 75 people, actually. So I would basically, why I'm coming here is that, like, see, we use social media in a big way, like, basically approaching to people who are coming in, and then asking for their videos, for their interviews, short interviews, posting on Instagram. Instagram, what I see is really, like, it helps, it connects to people. On the back end, we see that the kind of engagements which it is happening. We close around nearly about 450 delegates, actually. So I feel like for the industry, it's a big learning lesson, and most of the companies are there. But only thing is that, let's see how we project to the crowd or to the audience for drinking tea or for positioning tea. I think that is important, actually.
It was good to see so many from the industry at one event, and also the networking event. In particular, I thought many planters were interested in the session on regenerative agriculture because many questions were being asked.
So the first presentation was to lay the problem in front of the audience, where we stand actually in terms of the climate change and it effects and the effects of climate change. Then basically how we can take things forward. The session on regenerative agriculture especially was a cross-learning from the cotton industry, actually. So the Mr. Borua, Rajiv Borua, is from the Better Cotton Initiative. And now he's a consultant with this UK group called Primark. So basically, cotton industry has been a little ahead of tea. But at the same time, when we were discussing with Mr. Borua on different aspects of regenerative agriculture, we have seen that, maybe Toklai was suggesting or has been suggesting of when you grow tea for about 50 years, when you uproot and you rehabilitate the soil for at least 18 months to 24 months. So you plant different grasses, different plants, so that the soil is regenerated after 50 years of cultivation. And then you are, after 2 years of soil rehabilitation, you're back ready to go for another maybe 30, 40 years of planting. It's basically regenerative agriculture. What I have been seeing or hearing is that it's basically going back to the basics of doing agriculture. No tillage or very little tillage, so that you don't disturb the soil much. So then biochar, which we have been working on, so that biochar focus is very much there for regenerative agriculture. What we are trying to do is that we are trying to have takeaways from each of the sessions and try to implement it in a more structured manner, actually. So we are having a discussion with T-Board also on how we can structure it in a more methodical way of taking it forward.
There were a couple of things that came up at the IGG, isn't it? The campaign called Tea Power, and also the news about the small tea grower headquarters shifting to India for the next few years. And thinking about these two developments that you can share?
Yeah, so basically Shabnam Weber, who's heading the Tea Association of Canada, Tea and Herbal Association of Canada. So she had made in our presentation, it was quite well thought out because Canada, US and Australia, Canada, US and UK are heading the Tea and Health Working Group, which was formed in 2022. So that is the youngest working group. But I think a lot of progress has been made by that working group in terms of, we had nearly about 12 meetings over the last 2 years. And then we zeroed in on, instead of going for too technical or more technical stuff like cardiovascular disease or maybe where we can't prove without clinical trials. But we had zeroed in, the group had zeroed in on sports and fitness and wellness, actually, and even beauty. How tea can enhance beauty, the skin health, then how it can give you endurance and this thing. So those were the decisions taken in the working group, and which Shabnam had briefly presented in her presentation in the Bicentennial Conference. And then later on, it was presented as a working group recommendation to the FAO, wherein the tea power in terms of sports, fitness, wellness was decided, and how we can initiate a campaign, and every tweet, every social media messaging will go through, will have the concerned hashtags which has been decided upon. So I think that was a big takeaway from the FAO session. We discussed with a larger audience in the BATIC, and then in the FAO it was adopted as one of the main key implementation thing for the next 2 years. The other thing is the Confederation of the International Tea Smallholders, which was voted in 2016 in Nairobi session. And then in 2018, it was finalized in Hangzhou in China. And China was supposed to host it for the next 4 years, the headquarters. it was decided that, like, you see, every 4 years it will shift from different country to country so that the entire smallholder can get benefited from the host country, what they have been doing on different areas to promote smallholders, and especially on the marketing and how they can have a better return for their produce. So India, in fact, if you see in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of focus on smallholders. So Government of India also, when they are formulating the schemes for the next medium-term framework, they are putting more emphasis on the smallholders. Government of Assam has put in quite a lot of efforts. In fact, they've invested, I think, nearly about $2 million in setting up a dedicated R&D center at Toklai. So all this, what we feel is that, like, see, we should be able to hold workshops for member countries, like maybe Kenya, the African countries, Sri Lanka, even China. And then I think we can share more information and disseminate more information among the smallholder community. Another thing is that, like, we, of course, was, if you remember in this session, there was a Korean company called Tridge, so which they have used data analytics in a big way in trying to enhance or push exports of different commodities, actually. Some of the companies in India, especially in South India, have been using Tridge solutions. So we actually have given or exposed to a wider audience now. So once they come on, like you see, then I think indirectly, in a smaller way, they can find out newer markets, actually. So I think it's a e-marketplace for commodities. And I hope tea can get benefited through that platform.
The tea season is just about getting started in North India, isn't it? So as you look at 2024, I mean, you've had a great start. But what are you looking forward to for the rest of the year post IGG and also post a difficult 2023?
No, I feel like this year is going to be crucial for the industry, like Indian tea industry and the global tea industry, like more generic global tea industry, but like for Indian tea industry, because our production is, I think we are going to surpass the earlier record also, like you see, like it's going to maybe going to touch about 1400 million kilos. For 2023. But at the same time, now the compliance issues of tea has come in a big way, actually. Last year, we had 2-3 meetings with the food safety regulator, which is the FSSI, and they have flagged concerns on basically use of some compounds of that they found which is not desirable, actually, or which is not approved, or maybe it may come through bioformulations, it may come through different concoctions. But at the same time, compliance is a big issue. And we, from our organization, DRA, we are working with all the front-end companies like TCPL, Hindustan Unilever, even different member companies of DRA in trying to address this issue. And like end of this month, we are starting a campaign for the next 2 months on good agricultural practices, which more specific thing on plant protection measures, actually. See, what they need, what people need to spray, what they need to avoid, what they need to test. We have ramped up our both the labs which we have in TRA, one in Jorhat, one in Calcutta. So we have given a package solution to quite a lot of companies. Like, say, earlier, one company used to test maybe, say, 20 samples, 30 samples. Now, companies are saying that they are going to test minimum of 500 samples to 1,000 samples in a year. So we have given a package deal to them so that, like, they can test more and more for compliance. The other certification agencies like Trustee, we are implementing partners of Trustee in North India. So there also, we are giving a special deal for the Trustee-certified smallholders, wherein they can do it at a much cheaper cost at our labs. So I think this year, compliance will be an issue. And maybe I think with more and more compliance, maybe the production may not, like, reach that, like the 1,400 million, maybe it might come down actually, you see, since compliance has been flagged off as a major issue for this year. We are not in a very doom and gloom situation. Like you see, we have the production is there. It is only finding the market actually. So, and we are lucky to have a very, very strong domestic market, which is almost absorbing nearly 1200 million kilos of tea. So it's like that extra push, both domestically as well as maybe for some new countries. And then, so in that way, I think we need to learn from maybe other countries where they have, they've been very passionate about promoting their teas. I think Sri Lanka, for instance, the Sri Lankan Tea Board chairman was there, Mr. Niraj Dimel. And then he couldn't come for the Batik conference, but he was there for the next 3 days. They have gone through real problems in terms of production plummeting quite drastically. But they have, I think, come back actually. See, if you see last year, they're going into different countries, having agreements. And so they're basically recapturing their earlier market share wherever they had. Here in India, what I have seen is that, you see, there's too much negativity in the industry. So that I think we need to change, because definitely things are going to change for the better. So we need to have a strategy.
Thank you, Joydeep. I look forward to seeing how things pan out, how the year shapes up, and I'm sure we'll connect again during the year to see how things are progressing. And once again, congratulations on two very successful events in the kickoff 2024.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.